はい、今日はまたフィリピの話をします。そして今日は、日本語と英語の訳しますので、まず今日はまず英語で、そして後で日本語でやります。 So today continuing with Philippians, I'm going to begin in English and then I'll translate into Japanese afterwards. So I'll break it up maybe into three parts maybe. Hi. Okay, じゃあ、let's turn to Philippians chapter 2. はい、フィリピン書を読みます。フィリピン書。OK。そしたら、Let's look at 19から30節から30節を今日読みます。So let's begin in Philippians chapter 2. We're going to read from verse 19 until 30. Okay. All right. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I'm confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves couldn't give me. Okay. All right. So today, in today's section, it's only a short section, but we're looking at the two people that Paul sends. The first one is Timothy, and the second one is Epaphroditus. Timothy was with Paul and was working with Paul. He picked him up just before he went to Macedonia the first time, and since that time, seems he's followed him all of the way. This was most probably much later, when he had already been back to Philippi a few times, and he was probably in the Roman prison at this point. So Timothy was his apostle, in a sense, sent from Paul to minister on Paul's behalf. But Epaphroditus, it was kind of the opposite. He was sent from Philippi to Paul to bring word and news of them, and now Paul was going to return him to send him home, taking news. Okay, so that's what this section is talking about. The thing that I would like to look at today, the first part is this. Notice the kinds of people that Paul sent. Because the kinds of people that Paul sends are, in a sense, typical of the kinds of people that God sends. Paul, in a way, is almost like Christ when he talks in the epistles to Corinthians, for example, and the Philippians, I myself am coming, you know. When I come, you know, I hope that I don't find you arguing, or when I come, I hope I can find all things in peace. The return of Paul is, in a sense, like the return of Christ. And Paul, of course, is an apostle of Christ, and he represents everything that Christ is. And so that's a natural thing for him to be that way. In the same sense, when Paul sends one of his servants, it's a bit like God sending us into the world. So let's look at the kind of people that that were sent by Paul. First of all, Timothy. The first thing it says here, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I notice when I read this, there's a very strong emphasis and about the concern that they have one for another. Paul is a long way away, but he's praying without ceasing for them. Paul's a long way away, but he's very, very concerned with them. When I think about a couple of years ago, we very much changed our style with ministry in the Philippines. And up until about 2 or 3 years ago, the ministry that I was doing there was very much a sense of go to as many places as you could, teach as many people as you could, share as much truth as you could, and move on to the next place. And I had, except for a few of the local kind of leaders who were working with us, there was a very shallow depth of actual communication between me and the people who were listening. Now, when I would go back the next year, I would find every time that nothing has changed. And the same people ask the same questions, and clearly no one has looked into the things that we were teaching, and pretty much there was no growth from that at all. On the contrary, when we decided to sponsor Oscar, I've tried to maintain at least once a week, or once every 2 weeks at least, to have long conversations with him. I usually do that when I'm driving home at night, late at night, and we discuss all of the people in the churches and the difficult problems that come up and the potential things that they've got and this and that, and sometimes we just talk and about the kids or life or whatever like that. But I can understand the difference. It's so much more fruitful. It's so much more beneficial, and we can minister so much more to people when we have a very close relationship with them. And the reality is, you can't have such a close relationship with many people, just simply time-wise. How could you do that? You can't. You can't really do that. So there are certain people that God is going to connect you with that we need to have these close contacts. We need to pray for them particularly. We need to take special concern with the issues going on in their life. And this is the way that that Paul was with Timothy. Notice he says here in verse 20, I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. Paul had many other people in his lists of faithful workers. So obviously it wasn't that Timothy was the only faithful Christian around, obviously. Although when he was in Rome, he said, everyone has deserted me. So that may be true as well. But what he's saying here is emphasizing Timothy in particular has a genuine concern. Timothy in particular has a genuine concern for you. He's been there many times. He had been to Philippi. He was there when the church was established. He was there when the earthquake happened. He was there when they first heard the gospel. He was there when the whole city rose up and against Paul, the town leaders drove him out. And then he was there afterwards when Paul left and he stayed behind. and in Macedonia, and then he came back down to Paul later. Timothy was there. He had such a close relationship with them. It says that he shows a genuine concern. That word genuine is something that I looked up. Actually, this is the NIV, and it uses the word genuine. The word genuine has that beginning, G-E-N, like Genesis, or like genetic, and it literally means that. It means from birth. The King James that I usually read and listen to says natural.
Yes, I have naturally.
Yeah. Which also actually means the same thing, I think, but it's just a little bit harder to make the connection. But the idea is he naturally, from birth, he has a natural concern. This is not a concern that he's forcing. It's not something I don't want to go back there. I can't believe it. I've got to go back and spend a week there with those people. He's not like that. He really, really wants their welfare. He really thinks about them. He really prays about them. And so it's a natural thing to send that person back there. There may have been other people who were better teachers. There may have been other people who were more mature. There may have been other people who were better able to, more authoritative figures. Timothy was obviously a young man. I mean, he had only just picked him up as a youth when he first took him along. And so Timothy was not necessarily the most gifted or the most zealous. Well, he was zealous, but he wasn't necessarily the most gifted in a worldly sense. But he was someone who was the most natural because he had that natural concern for them. The first thing that I'd like to consider is this. When I went to the Philippines, and in all those years, there were certain people that I had a very strong natural connection with, and I've noticed that God blessed those connections. And over the years, the ones that I did have a natural compelling to take an interest in them, and Oscar was definitely one of them. In fact, Oscar had been one of them from the very beginning. From the very first time I ever went to the Philippines, he was there. He was I didn't even know him at the time, but he knew us. And so there was a very strong connection there from the very beginning. And that's what God blessed. And it's an amazing thing. I remember the same thing happened when I first came to Japan with Erki. I remember meeting him, and there was just a natural appeal. That I was very, very, something about him just clicked, that I don't know what it was. You know, there were many other ministers, and yet this is obviously something that God leads. So the first thing I would like to say is this. When we look at the things God calls us to do, if you feel that you're forcing something, if you feel that, oh, I don't really want to do this, if you feel that, you know, oh, I don't want to go and hang around with those people anymore, this is a burden, you know, if there's not that natural inclination to do something, then perhaps God's not calling you to that ministry. On the other hand, if you really feel so strongly about being called to do something that you really think about it, you really pray about it, you pray about it with all your heart because it really concerns you, then perhaps that's something that God is calling us to. One of the great questions that we have to ask as a Christian is always, what's God's will for my life? I mean, you look ahead and there's many things you could do. What is it that God is asking me and calling me to do? And, well, it's never clear. No one, unless it is for some unusual cases, some people have an extremely clear view and that's it. But for most Christians, it's not. You know, especially young people, what is it that God is going to lead me to do? Well, the first thing is this. We have to understand that in time, it might change. Paul, went out to be an evangelist. Later, he became a father figure. Later, he became a mata. He had many roles. He was a teacher at some point. Some point, he was simply a church member, being part of a fellowship, operating as a prophet. At other times, he was a traveling evangelist. At other times, he was a coordinator. God's ministry for him, sometimes he was a prisoner. Sometimes he was an apologist to the Jews. Other times he was an evangelist to the Gentiles. God's work in his life continually changed so many times, and that's something that we have to expect as well. Maybe later God will redirect you. Maybe later God will give you an opening or a new clear ministry. But for the time being, I would recommend that we do what's natural, that we follow the way that we feel naturally inclined to do. If you feel strongly called and you feel a natural concern for this particular ministry, whether it is a creation ministry, whether it's an education ministry, whether it's an evangelistic ministry or a charity-based ministry or a teaching ministry or whatever, if that's what you feel so strongly about, then that's the thing you should pursue. But, like Timothy, as Paul's ministry went on and progressed, so did Timothy's. And later, we see in the book of Timothy that he took on a much more authoritative ministry later. He had to ordain elders. he had to be the elder. He had to take on that extra role as well. What is God calling you to do? Do you know the answer? Do you have a clear vision in your mind? Do you have a clear understanding of what lies ahead? Well, allow God to lead you naturally. It's like raising children. Children have a natural interest in certain things, and it's always easiest if we allow them to study the things that they naturally like. I wish it were always possible to do that. Maybe it is. But we need to at least be very, very conscious of the fact that the lessons and the education will go best when children are doing something they enjoy rather than something they're forced to do. That's a natural part of our human nature, and God leads us in the same way. Sometimes God will give a very strong urge to a person and it will be unusual that they will feel that urge to pray for a particular country or to be involved in a particular kind of ministry. The history of missions has been full of these examples. Let's think about it. What do I really want? What is the service that I feel most strongly about? What is the particular niche of ministry that my heart is really in? And is that what God's calling me to do? Maybe that's what God's calling you to do. Paul didn't send the person who was best, the most knowledgeable person, or the most efficient person, perhaps. He sent the one who had the most concern for them. That was what he emphasized about Timothy. He had a genuine birth concern. Like, it was like a natural thing, second nature to him, to be concerned for those people. And that's the one God chose. Well, it'll be the same with us. God will choose and send into particular ministries the ones who have that same natural inclination. And of course, that means we need to respect many, many different kinds of ministries. And it would be natural that in a room like this with, how many people? Seven people? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 6 people. Well, then there's going to be 6, perhaps, different directions that people will want to go. It'll be some, and I don't need to understand another person's heart. I can recognize it, but I don't have to feel it. There are some ministries that I don't feel the necessity of it at all, but I can still recognize that person does, and I can still support them in it. So that's the first point. Okay. はい。そして、 第一のポイントです。あのじゃあ大使あの読んでもらえませんか。はい。19から2章、フィリピン2章19から30、お願いします。
しかし私もあなた方のことを知って励ましを受けたので、早くテモテをあなた方のところに送りたいと主イエスにあって望んでいます。テモテのように私と同じ心にあって、真実にあなた方のことを心配している者は他に誰もいないからです。誰も皆自分自身のことを求めるだけで、キリストイエスのことを求めてはいません。しかしテモテの立派な働きぶりはあなた方の知っているところです。子が父に仕えるようにして、彼は私と一緒に福音に奉仕してきました。ですから私のことがどうなるかが分かり次第、彼を使わしたいと望んでいます。しかし私自身も近いうちに行けることと主にあって確信しています。しかし私の兄弟、同労者、戦友、またあなた方の使者としての、として私の窮乏の時に仕えてくれた人エパフロデトは、あなた方のところに送らなければならないと思っています。彼は、あなた方すべてをしたい求めており、また自分の病気のことがあなた方に伝わったことを気にしているからです。本当に彼は死ぬほどの病気にかかりましたが、神は彼を憐れんでくださいました。彼ばかりでなく、私も憐れんで、私にとって悲しみに悲しみが重なることのないようにしてくださいました。そこで私は大急ぎで彼を送ります。あなた方が彼に再び会って喜び、私も心配が少なくなるためです。ですから喜びにあふれて、主にあって彼を迎えてください。また彼のような人々には尊敬を払いなさい。なぜなら彼はキリストの仕事のために命の危険を冒して死ぬばかりになったからです。彼は私に対して、あなた方が私に使えることのできなかった分を果たそうとしたのです。
ありがとうございます。はい。そして今日の部分は、あのパオルはあのこのテモテとエパフロを、使わしたというところです。まあ今日はこれだけに、あの考えたいと思います。じゃあパウロはあのやっぱりあの使徒ですから、使徒として、まあ、イエス様をよく表すものです。そしてパウロはあの、まあ、イエス様はその教会の土台もちろんだけど、パウロは私はその教会の土台を据えましたと言いますので、あのまあ、本当にキリストを表しているものです。そしてあの、まあ、例えばコリント、第1コリント、第2コリント、パウロはよくあの自分がもうちょっとしたらコリントに行く、で行く時に裁きたくない、行く時にあのもう秩序を見たいと切に思っています。あのもし私は行ってこの秩序を見たら、もう裁きをせずを得られないというようにあの書きますので、もう本当にイエス様の再臨のようなあのことです。パウロは、まあ、私は本当だったらもうちょっとしたら行きたいと言っています。でもその前にあのテモティを使わします。その前にエパフロを使わします。まあ神様がどのような人を奉仕に使わすといえば、まあ、このような人たちです。神様はあの私たちを同じように使わしますので、使わされている人たちの特徴をあの考えたいと思います。まあ、テモテはあの、ずっとパウロと一緒にあの辿っていろんなところに行きました。マケドニア、フィリピはマケドニアあの地方にあります。そしてマケドニアに行く前、最初に行った時にテモテがあの、まあ、若かった時、青春の時にパウロは彼を見つけて連れて行きました。だからフィリピの働きの一番最初からテモテはついて行きました。あのパウロとシラスはその最初の時に牢に入れられて、そしてあの地震があって、その管理者が牢の管理者は救われた時、テモティもいました。 テモティはその、町の長老たちはパウロを追い出そうとした事件も見ました。テモティは彼らの迫害を見た。テモティはその働きのすごくあの、まあ、近い関係を持っていたので、あのテモティを使わすのは、まあ、自然なことです。テモティはまだ、まあ、若かったでしょう。あのローマの刑務所からあの、まあ、囚われている状態から第一、第二テモティが書かれていると言われています。同じ時だと思います。そしてその時もあの自分の聖書を誰に裁かれるな、見下されるなあのと言いますので、あのまだ若かった、まだそんな権利の あるような人ではなかった、まだ、まあ、教えが上手にできるような人ではなかったかもしれない。まだあのもう若いから、その自分より年上の人たちに命令を出すような立場の人ではないかもしれない。テモティはあり得るところに欠けていたかもしれないけど、でもここでなぜテモティを使わしたかというと、まあ明白に書きます。しかし私はあなた方のことを知って励ましを受けたいので、早くテモティをあなた方のところに送りたいと、あの主イエスにやって望んでいます。テモティのように私と同じ心になって、真実にあなた方のことを心配しているものは他に誰もいないからです。あのまあ誰もみんな自分自身のことを求めるだけで、キリストイエスのことをあの求めていません。しかしあのテモティの立派な働きぶりはあなた方の、あのしているところです。子が父に仕えるあのようにして、彼は私と一緒に福音に奉仕してきました。まあ、テモティとパウロは近い関係を持っていたからこそ、あのパウロの心をうまく伝えるのはテモティです。しかし、まあ、今日ここでまず考えたいと思うことは、この真実という言葉、テモティのように私と同じ心になって真実にあなた方のことを心配しているものは本当に誰もいないからです。真実という言葉はあの、まあ、英語だったら genuine で、genuine は、まあ、例えば genesis とか gene、genetic とか、そういう生まれながらという遺伝から、あの生まれた時からあのという意味を持っています。そういう言葉です。彼はもう生まれつきあのあなた方のあのことを心配している。もう自然に、彼にはそれは自動的に自然にそうなっています。まあ、逆に私たちはたまに他の人のことをあんまり自然に考えない人もたくさんいるでしょう。自然に思う人たちもいるけど、全然自然に何も考え心配してない人もいるでしょう。あのしかし自然にあの生まれながら、あの本当にあの、まあ、真実にその、彼はその彼に対する心配を抱いていたから、パウロはもちろんティモティをその奉仕にあの使わしたということです。まあ、ちょっと例を考えると、あのフィリピンの、私のフィリピンの奉仕を振り返ってみれば、あのオスカーにを支える前は、あのだいぶいろんなところに行って、できるだけの場所、できるだけのミーティング、できるだけの町に行って、できるだけ多くの牧師に出会えて、そしてあのできるだけ多くの御言葉を教えるためにあの頑張っていた、励んでいた。しかし次の年に行って、あの誰もあの全然勉強してあの成長しなかったことをいつもがっかりしていた。あのまた同じような人たちに出会えて、また同じような質問聞かれて、またあの同じ だってこれはどうでしょうとか同じような議論になる。全然もう何年も何年もあの成長を気づかなかったことからやっぱり意味はないだろうなと思ってた。しかしオスカーを支えることになったらあのそれよりも多くの人たちよりもオスカーの奉仕、オスカーの教会、オスカーの行っている町の人たち個人的に名前を考えながらその人の顔を考えながらあの関心を持って祈ったりあのその、まあ、安否を聞いたりあの成長を、求めたりそういうことになって本当にあの成長を見ました。そして、まあ、特にオスカーの奉仕はすごく成長していると思います。あの何が違うでしょう。違いのは前はただなんていう一方の奉仕、しかしここは一方の奉仕ではない。あのフィリピンの人たちはパウロをあまりにも心配してエパフロを送った。そしてパウロは彼のことをあまりにも心配してエパフロを返した。そしてティモテも行ったり帰ったりあの互いの気持ちを伝えたり報告を伝えたりしています。パウロはいなくても彼らはあの物資あの、もしあの支援をしていた。お金とか食べ物を送り出していた。本当に彼のことを心に抱いていた、抱いていた。そういう奉仕は神様に恵まれている。神様はそういう奉仕を祝福する。しかし全然関心がないような奉仕は祝福されてないようです。ので私たちはその奉仕するときにあのまずその心の関係を大事にしなければならない。そしてまあその結果あのどうでしょう。あのまあ、もう一つの例というとあの最初僕は日本に来た時あの、トミーのおじいちゃんの友達あのイカライネン先生に出会えた。そして彼に出会った時は あまりにも心が動かされて印象を受けてあのただ面白い人だなということよりも本当に心がつながった感じでした。そしてあのまあ彼こそ神様はそういう、まあ、気持ちをあの与えてくださったと思いますけど、でも長年神様はその関係をあの祝福しました。もう本当に私たちはもう全然相手のことをどんなに調べようとしても調べなかったけどずっと考えていた。ずっとあのもうあの彼はどうなっているかなとあの 話せたらいいなとずっと思ってた。そしてあのだからトミーにまず出会えたもう多分30秒ぐらいの中でエルキは知らないのとあの最初にあの聞きました。そしてあの親友と言われたらあ、なるほど、これは神様がなさった技だと本当に心の中で感じていた。そして今はその関係が祝福されていることは明白です。のであの私たちが本当に自然に心で心配しているような奉仕は神様の働きだと思います。神様はそういうふうに私たちを導くものだと思います。じゃあ皆さんの奉仕はどうでしょう。皆さんの前にどのようにして神様に仕えたらいいかを考えるときに、まずはじゃあ心の中で正直に何を本当に心配しているか、関心がどこにあるか。もしかしたらそれは神様の導き。他の人はそのことを関心してないかもしれない。だから隣の人たちはみんなこういうことが大事だと思って、まあ、自分が自然にどう考えている。 やっぱり神様は私たちを個人的に導くから、私たちの心の中の願いはもう神様のものです。神様は私たちの中で働いている。私たちの願いまで働かされているので、それも私たちが導かれているものです。まあその奉仕、私たちの奉仕は途中で変えることも多くあります。パウル の人生もそうでした。最初は教会の、まあ、長老みたいな奉仕者で、教会を励ましている、予言をしている人だった。後で彼は伝道師として導かれた。それから彼は使徒として教会を育てて、まあ、父みたいな立場として、あらゆる教会を管理するような奉仕を持っていた。その後で彼は弁明論のとエルサレムでキリスト教を弁明する奉仕を持っていた。後では殉教者の奉仕をローマで弁明するように用いられた。あらゆる奉仕をしました。私たちの前にも今こういうことをやっているから、後で同じことをする過去はない、確証はない。それは変わるかもしれないけど、今は何をすべきか、じゃあ心の中で何が一番大事かをどう思いますか。もちろん聖書的な範囲があるけど、その中でどうでしょう。私たちはその教え、伝道、どの国とか国のために祈る、もしかしたら貧しい人たちのための祈りとか、子供たちのための祈り、政治のための祈り、貧困な人を助ける奉仕、フィリピンの村人まで行く福音を伝える奉仕か、逆に全然違うような聖書を学ぶ印刷、そういう出版社になる、そういう奉仕もあります。自分では心の中で本当に敏感に聖霊の導きを考えましょう。このような教会の中でも、今日の、まあ、10人ぐらい聞いているかもしれない。その中で10の違う奉仕があるかもしれない。私は例えば、まあ、例えば創造論がすごく大事と思って、それに励もうとしているなら、でも他の人たちはそれは全然心で感じてないかもしれない。まあそれでもいい。私はこのように用いられる。この人は違う分野で違う働きで用いられる。だから私たちは違う人たちの奉仕を認めることができるけど、その関心を感じなくてもいいということです。聖書的な範囲の中もちろん、はい。ので最初のポイントで、自然に心配することは非常に大事。もしまた人たちに会いに行かなきゃならないだったらどうでしょう。例えばまた青森に行かなきゃな、もう寒いのにとか考えたら、じゃあ行かない方がいい。でも逆にみんなどうなっているかな、あやさんとかどうなっているかな、その子供たちはどう、もし自然にそういう気持ちがあれば、じゃあ神様はそういう奉仕を祝福するでしょう。はい。まあ、それは最初の心。皆さんの奉仕は考えて、どこに関心の自然に思っているか考えてください。Okay, じゃあ、let's look at the second part. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. So we've talked about the ministry that God blesses is the one that He sends us to. And it's the one thatWe will feel in our hearts to be the most serious, the most necessary. Or we might not necessarily see it as the greatest, but we'll feel that for us it's the most natural. It's the thing that we just have to do. even if other people don't see it that way. But here in Jeremiah, we'll see another side to this. Jeremiah chapter 23, let's read 35 to 38. This is what each of you keeps saying to his friends or other Israelites. What is the Lord's answer? Or what has the Lord spoken? But you must not mention a message from the Lord again, because each one's word becomes their own message. So you distort the words of the living God, the Lord Almighty, our God. This is what you keep saying to a prophet. What is the Lord's answer to you? Or what has the Lord spoken? Although you claim this is a message from the Lord, this is what the Lord says, you use the words, this is the message from the Lord, even though I told you that you must not claim this is the message from the Lord. Therefore, I will surely forget you and cast you out of my presence, along with the city I gave to you and to your ancestors. And then also, verse 1 and 2. Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds who tend my people. Because you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done, declares the Lord. Okay, why do I mention this in the middle of talking about Timothy? The idea is, although the NIV doesn't give me the word I'm really, really looking for here, the word message of the Lord, of course, if we know the King James or other translations, is the burden of the word of the Lord, right? And here, what God is saying, he says, I have not sent these people. He say, they go, but I haven't sent them. It's mentioned also in other numerous times in this chapter. They're going on their own, but they haven't been sent. They're saying, I have a burden, but I haven't burdened them. I haven't given them this burden. And yet they're saying that this is the burden of the Lord. It's a terrible, terrible sin to proclaim and say, this is what God said. Especially, like, not just God says this. We can say, you know, well, God says this if it's written in the Word of God. But this is beyond that. This is the burden of the Word of the Lord. This is the thing that God has put heavily upon me to express now to you. He's talking through me to you like this. There's a difference between that and just talking generally in principles about, you know, the Bible says this or that. But what God says to these people is, I have not burdened you with that. And the same people, it says, they're scattering them because they don't really have any care for them. And so, going back to the natural care that we have for someone, each of us will feel that burden in a particular area, in a particular way. And if we do something at which we're not burdened for, and we don't really have a natural care for, what are we going to end up doing? We're going to end up scattering the people. We're going to end up causing more trouble. If you're involved in a ministry that is not something God has burdened you with, then don't do it. At least don't pursue it. You might, you know, you can always attend. I mean, I might attend a day on helping the aged in the Baptist church or something just because it sounds interesting or I was invited. That's not what I'm talking about. I mean, if you don't feel a particular burden for a calling, then that's not something God's calling you to do. If you go and do it, you're not going to achieve anything. In fact, you'll do the opposite. Okay, that was the corollary, or whatever you call it, of the previous passage. On the other hand, their motives are greed. These pastors fleece the sheep, and they eat the meat, but they don't feed the sheep. Ezekiel 34 gives us the other side of that. So, when people are involved in a ministry they don't have a real burden for, it's because they have another motive. And for us, that motive could be as simple as simply being, well, that's what our church does. Or would all of our Christians do that? All of our friends do that ministry. So it's just natural for us to do that. But we don't actually take the time to sit and ask, God, what are you burdening me with? Every time we read, we've been reading the story of Adoniram Judson in the last few days. But as whenever you read one of these mission stories, there's always a pattern. They get a burden for something and the people around them can't understand it. Well, what do you mean you're going to Burma? Burma? What's Burma? You know, you've been offered to be the pastor of this church in Boston. And this is a wonderful opportunity. You're going to turn it down to go to Burma? So the other people don't understand it. And it would be a terrible thing if we would just give in and say, well, I'm going to do what Tommy does because that's what Tommy's doing and I can see God blessing it, so I'm going to join it. No. Or I'm going to join what Steve does because God's obviously blessing it, so I should do that. No. You should do what God is calling you to do. I should do what God is calling me to do. And each one of us should pray for the burden of God for us and our family, and wait for that natural care. And don't be surprised if God leads you in something that is different to what other people are doing. Now, let's look at Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus, it says in 2:29, going back to Philippians 2 and verse 29. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honor people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give him. Risked his life. He nearly died. This is another reality that we have to face. These people nearly died in their ministries, and often they did die. Often they died. Today we live in such a sterile world. Everything is sterile. Everything is antibacterial. You can't get your hands dirty. You can't have any exposure to anything these days. We think that if I get sick, that it's a terrible thing, or if things don't work out perfectly, or if I'm not rising up and becoming more and more successful, whether it's academically or financially or socially, that everything is going wrong. The reality is, these people gave their lives for their ministries. Paul died. He came near to death. Near death. God allowed him to come near to death. This is the one chosen by God to represent the church to Paul, and this is the one chosen by Paul to represent him to the church. And God allowed him to nearly die. Why? Because God has a purpose in it. God has a purpose in everything. I always think of the long imprisonment that Paul had in Caesarea. He was there for such a long time. And Paul must have wondered, why on earth is God keeping me here for all this time? And then he got into the ship and they were driven and shipwrecked and everything was lost. Why did God allow all that to happen? Because God had a good purpose in it. I really think that perhaps all the people who wanted to accuse him in Rome, they probably ended up in the same storm because they were supposed to go along at the same time. And when he got to Rome, they said, no one's come from Jerusalem. Maybe they all got blown into Egypt or into the bottom of the Mediterranean Sea. It doesn't say that was the reason, but certainly it says that although we would have expected people to come and accuse him, no one did. There's a good purpose in everything of this. When I look at, and again, when you read the lives of missionaries, thinking of the story we've read of Judson in the last few days, he had at least two wives die. That was pretty stressful. And I think if I have counted correctly, five children of his died on mission. So that's a lot of death in his family. And you might think, why? And then he talks about after they set up the ministry in Burma, then other missionaries started coming. But often they only lasted 2 years and they died of malaria, or they died of jungle fever, whatever that is, or they died of this or that. Sometimes they died on the ship. But when you looked at his wife, she got so sick she had to go back. But when she went back, then she went all around creating awareness and started the Baptist Missionary Society. And then they spread the message, and then lots of people took an interest in missions. God uses all of those things. Epaphroditus, he was a person who nearly died. God uses people who are not concerned about their own life, they're concerned about others. Now, just as a final thought, we live in Japan, and Japan is a Buddhist society. And it seems when you look at the history of the world that Buddhist societies never accept the gospel. Right? Think of the Buddhist societies that there are. Right? The Hindus have accepted. There's a lot of churches throughout India. It's huge Christianity in India. Other countries have all had their times. But what about the Buddhist countries? How come there's almost hardly any Christians in anywhere that's Buddhist? Even in Burma, the Burmese Buddhists have to this day almost exclusively rejected the gospel. On the other hand, the animist Khmers have accepted it, and the second largest number of Baptists in the world is in Burma. But they're animist people. If you go to Vietnam, it's not the Viets that have accepted the gospel so much, it's the monks and the animist people who came from the hill tribes and that. The only cases I can think of where Buddhist countries have accepted the gospel in any real sense is when they've had an oppressive government. After China had a very oppressive government, then suddenly a lot of people got saved. When Vietnam had a very oppressive government, now a lot of people are getting saved. Maybe that'll be the same in other places as well. But obviously there's a terribly demonic force within Buddhism to just give people indifference to truth. Indifference means you don't care about others, and indifference means you only care about yourself. Indifference is basically selfishness. Now, when we look at Japan, what has it caused in Japan? I can think of two traits in this country which go well with that. Number one, I've read many times, this is the most insured country in the world. People in Japan are primarily concerned with protecting themselves. However, what God has called us to do, he says here, is not look out for the interests of ourselves, but look out for the interests of others. He's called us to risk everything. He risked his life. He came near to death for the sake of the gospel. That's the sort of person that God used. Of course, insurance, all right, I have insurance too. I'm not going to say we shouldn't be insured. But although we have insurance, we don't trust in our insurance. And we welcome whatever God does in our life. If God allows everything to fall apart, all right, so be it. God will use it. God will lead us from victory to victory, no matter what happens. Whether we suffer some unexpected judgment or some unexpected shock or whatever, even our sin, God will use it. We are guaranteed to win if we stay faithful, no matter what happens. We don't need to trust in insurance. However, most people are terrified of disaster. The other thing is, just regarding concern, one thing that I have noticed very strongly in Japan is that the average person has very little concern for other people. I remember some of my students saying once, when I first came here, there was a lot of homeless people living on Mukugawa, right from one end of the river to the other. It was full of blue tents. And they said, I wish a big flood would just come and wash them all away, wash them all into the ocean. It's like, okay. On my weekends, I've been down there trying to feed them, witness to them, but you wish the flood would wash them away. That's nice. But that's what someone said, literally, like one of our dear neighbors. Also, when it comes to, for example, adopting children, this country has one of the lowest rates of adoption of any first world country. People don't want to put themselves out in any way for others. All of this to say this, what God is calling us to is to show a Buddhist country the difference between Buddhism and God. And we don't preach against Buddhism because that will never work. What we do is we demonstrate real Christianity. And real Christianity, in the sense just here, looking at Epaphroditus and Timothy, is that we have a genuine concern. And when people see a genuine concern, why would you be interested in helping them? Why would you be interested in helping poor people? Why would you be interested in helping the people in China? We might sometimes feel embarrassed to say what God is calling us to do, and we might think, oh, they wouldn't understand. But they might not understand, but they might think that's really strange. Why would he be interested in helping poor people? Why would he be interested in giving up his own job to doing this? It just doesn't make any sense. And on the other hand, why wouldn't they be worried about bad things happening? Why would bad things happen and yet they don't see it as a problem? Why are they happy and joyful even when things don't go right? Like when we get sick near unto death. I have a feeling that that's one of the testimonies that God is going to use to change this country. Because if the Japanese people see us as concerned for ourselves, our career, our money, our holidays and all the other things Japanese people love, then they're just going to say, well, they're the same as us. But on the other hand, if they see something different, like we see here, that we're not concerned for ourselves, but we're concerned for others, what a testimony that is. Maybe that's the only thing. Japanese people are not going to listen to reason, and Buddhist people tend not to listen to reason. They seem incapable of reason in many cases. It just, logic and reason doesn't work. In Islam, it works. In other religions, there's dialogue and there's discussion and reasoning. Many Muslims get saved when they hear reason. But with Buddhism, it just doesn't work. So God is using us in another way. And I believe that the example of these two people, that they were willing to give up their life and to be close to death, to lose anything. And secondly, their true and great concern for the ones that they are burdened to minister to. Not the ones that they do without the burden, but when it is really the burden. That is a testimony which is very powerful. And I think that's what God is calling us to. So let's think about how that applies to us. As far as English goes, that's the end of the English. I'll go for Japanese now and we'll finish up. Hi. そして、後半です。じゃあ、今までは、そのテムティのことを話しましたけど、テムティは、もう自然に、そのフィリピンの人たちの、心配をします。彼は自然に彼らのことを気にしていた。そして、神様はそういう、こと、そういう奉仕を祝福します。本当に心から願っている祈りは答えられない。適当な祈りは答えられない。そして本当に自分が心から考えている、心配しているその奉仕の目的があれば、それは神様は祝福すると思います。しかし、全ての奉仕はそうではない。エレミア23章は一つの例ですけど、エレミア23章はそのエレミアの時代の牧師や牧 羊飼いや預言者について書かれているけど、まずは35から38を読みます。35から38、でもその前にちょっと前は読めなかったけど、32節を読んでください。
から38、
いや32だけ、
うん、はい。見よ、私は偽りの夢を預言する者たちの敵となる。主の見告げ、彼らは偽りと自慢話を私の民に述べて惑わしている。私は彼らを使わさず彼らに命じもしなかった。彼らはこの民にとって何の役にも立ちはしない。主の見告げ、
はい、神様が彼らを使わせなかったと書いています。そして彼らは結局何の役にも立たないという結果です。そして35から38、
あなた方は互いに主は何と答えられたか、主は何と語られたかと言うがよい。しかし主の宣告ということを二度と述べてはならない。主の言葉が人の重荷となり、あなた方が生ける神、万軍の主、私たちの神の言葉を曲げるからだ。あの預言者たちにこう言え、主は何と答えられたか、主は何と語られたか。もしあなた方が主の宣告というのなら、それに対して主はこう仰せられる。私はあなた方に主の宣告というなど言うなと言い送ったのに、あなた方は主の宣告という言葉を語っている。
はい、ここで主の宣告ではないのに主の宣告と言うなということ、でも宣告という言葉は重いこと、重みみたい、まあ、英語ではその重さ、重荷ということです。ヘブライ語はその通りです。だからまあ宣告という意味だけど、その言葉自体はその重いこと、心にそれは重い、どうしても語らなければならない。神様はたくさんのことを言う。で、私たちはまあ聖書はこういうことを言いますとか、神様はこう言います。でも今ここで神様は特にこの言葉を私を通してあなたに語るということは非常に深刻なこと。もし神様は今ここであなたを通してそれを語っていなければ、勝手にそれは言うな、それは言ったら本当に罪深いことです。だから今の偽預言者がたくさん回っていて、主はこう言っている、私を預言しますとか、でも神様は言ってない、それは非常に大変な罪です。しかし考えてください、神様はその重荷を与えてないのに彼らは言った、言ってはならない。その同じ23章の1節と2節、私の牧場の群れを滅ぼし散らす牧者たち、主の見告げ、それゆえイスラエルの神主はこの民を牧する牧者たちについてこうおせられる。あなた方は私の群れを散らし、これを追い散らして帰り見なかった。見よ、私はあなた方の悪い行いを罰する。彼らを帰り見なかったということは、自然なケアがない、自然な心配がない、他の目的がある。彼らの、まあ、羊のウールと肉を得たいと思っている。でも羊を養う気持ちはないので役に立たない。まあ同じように私たちは主からの重荷がなければ、じゃあその奉仕はしない方がいい、してはならないということ。もし勝手にすれば結局私たちは何の役にも立たない。多分今までは私がたくさん役に立たない奉仕を励んでいたことがあります。今でもいくつかを考える。でも主の重荷がなかった。じゃあなんでやった、なんでやったか、まあ多分誰かがそうすべきだと言われたから とか他の人がやっているのを見て、あ、じゃあ私はそんなことを しなければならないとか、まあオーストラリアではこうしてたから日本でも同じことをしなければならない、そういうことが、そういう動機があったと思います。それか何かしなければならないもう何かしなければならないからというあの気持ち、それよりも心に主が何を重くになっていること、それが大事、それが祝福される、それには役立てるものになります。でも自分がこの奉仕に別に重く感じていなかったら、してしまったらもう結局群れを散らすことになります。あの役に立たない、結局自分の奉仕もちゃんとした奉仕もせずにふさわしくない奉仕をしてしまう、どちらも失敗、うん、ということですから、まあまあ今さっきあの出した例といえば、例えばトミー、ここにいますのでトミーとスティーブの例を出しますけど、トミーの奉仕を私はトミーがやっている、そしてそれは導かれている、祝福されているから、私はそれをしなければならないわけではない。神様は私をその奉仕にあの重くその心に重荷を与えなければ しない方がいい。スティーブンとかあのがやっている奉仕も同じ、あのスティーブンがそのようにやっているから私はそうしなければならないわけではない。神様はそれぞれにあの奉仕をする、そして自分が本当に大事と思っていることをその通りしましょう。あの宣教師の歴史を、まあ、たくさんの話を読むと、大体特に例えば最初インドに行ったウィリアム・ケリーとか、最初にビルマに行ったあのジャッソン、あの最初にあの、まあ、あらゆるところに行ってた人たち、あの、ロンドンの貧困な人にあの奉仕してたブースとか、あのそういうみんなあの最初「ええー」と言われた、「なんで?」とか「なんでそんなことをするの?」「なんであのもう ここでも奉仕あるのに、なんで?」なんでお前は中国に行くのか、あのここでこの国にも貧しい人いるのにとか、そういうことを言われているけど、でもその人たちはいや、どうしてもどうしてもという気持ちがある。その気持ちは主に与えられているでしょう。まあよく祈りながらそれを確認しなければならないけど、しかし私たちは結局そのように導かれる。じゃあエパフロ、あのレトスという人の例を出しをあの考えます。フィリピン2章の29節、そこで私はあのお急ぎで彼を送ります。あなた方が彼にあの再び会って喜び、私もあの心配が少なくなるなるためです。ですから喜びにあふれて主にあって彼を迎えてください。またあの彼のように人々にはあの尊敬を払いなさい。なぜなら彼はキリストの仕事のためにあの命の危険をあの、犯して、死ぬばかりにあのなったからです。あの彼は私に対して、あなた方が私にあの使えることのできなかったあの分をあの果たそうとしたのです。彼は命の危険を犯して死ぬばっかりになったからですと書いています。昔の、まあ、使徒働きの中の奉仕者は本当に命を懸けて奉仕をしました。もう死ぬかもしれなかった。その12人の弟子、あの結局みんな殉教者になりました。なんででしょう。なんで神様は彼らの命を保てなかったでしょう。でも神様は彼らを死ぬほど病気にあのさせた、あの他の人を殺させた、ペトロもあの殺させた、殺して殺されました。なんででしょう。 もちろん理由があります。パウロはなんでずっと2年間ぐらい牢に入っていた。ローマに行ってキリスト教の弁明をしたかったのに、でもずっと牢にいて何の役に立たないでしょう。で、船に乗って、なんで神様はそんな大変な嵐をもたらして、なんでイエス様は船の中で、あなたは私の前にローマで語るというのに嵐を収めなかった。もう、じゃあお願いしますと祈ったでしょ。もっとスムーズに行かせたらいいのにとパウロが思ってたかもしれない。でもその中で神様の目的があったから。じゃあ神様はどういう人を使わすというと、そのような人たちです。命を懸けて、そして大きな心配、自然な心配、自然な思いやりをする人たちを使わします。今この社会の中のあるゆる奉仕に私たちは使わされているけど、どのような状況で使わされている、命を懸けて、そして本当に重荷を感じて、本当の心配を抱いて、その奉仕に使わされている。だから適当にしてはならない。本当に一生懸命しなければならない。本当に神様に導かれていることを認識して、他の人がどう言っても導かれている方針に励むことが必要。もう他の人は理解できなくてもそうすべきです。日本は仏教、仏教の国はなかなか救われない。合理的ではないから。イスラムの国々は合理的です。宣教師の歴史の中でほとんど仏教ばっかりの国は全然福音を受けない。例えばビルマ、ビルマはたくさんの人がクリスチャンになったけど、そのたくさんの人たちは全部少数民族の、神道みたいな自然を礼拝する人たち。フィリピンではみんなそうです。ありうる霊を礼拝していた、崇拝していた。しかし今はそういう人たちはすぐ救われる。ベトナムでは主にベト民族、主に仏教のベト民族は救われなかったけど、その山の人たちは、ありうる霊を拝んでいる人たちは救われました。逆に仏教の国々が福音を受け入れるときは、強い独裁者が出るときとか、共産主義が無理やり彼らの上に抑えられているとき、そして彼らはある程度 2,3 世代自分の伝統を忘れて、そして何が真実だろうというときが来て福音を受け入れている、中国もそうです。ベトナムも今そうです。今最近多くの人が救われるようになっています。私たちは日本で奉仕に召されているなら、何を示さなければならない。やっぱり合理的な話は今の状態ではなかなか影響をもたらしてないけど、これはどうでしょう。テモテとエパフロダイトスみたいに本当の心配を示すこと。なんであなたは貧困な人たちの興味を持っている。なんでそんなに人を助けようとしている。自分のキャリアを捨ててこんな人たちのことを心配しているのか、おかしいとか思われるかもしれないけど、それによって本当の神様の御心を伝えることができる。逆になんで日本は特に他の人の思いやりはしない。どっちかといえばこの国では例えば子供を養子する率は本当に少ない。そしてチャリティーの募金は、先進局はだいぶ低い方です。だいたいもうすでに申告した国々はもっともっと出しているけど、日本は 出してない場合が多い。まあ戦争で犯したことの補いみたいに出している場合もたくさんありますけど、でも個人の場合は他の人の貧困を見て金を出す習慣はほとんどない。しかし私たちは逆にそういう神様の気持ちを示したら人は神様を見ることができる。本当の心配を持つこと。片方、日本は多くの保険がある。どこよりも保険がたくさんある、日本は。みんなはたくさんの保険を持っている。自分のことをすごく心配している。自分がやばいと、どうなるかと心配しているけど、エパフロダイトス、この奉仕者たちは自分のことよりも他の人のことを心配していた。自分はもう命かけて奉仕します。自分は例えばホームスクーリングで、まあ別に大学、いい大学行かなくても私たちは貴重な教えをします。なんででしょう？それは神様のためだよと。それによって神様のメッセージを強く伝えることができると思います。神様は私たちをそのように召しているに違いない。はい。まあ今日は長かったけど、ここで終わります。はい。じゃあ祈ります。Let's pray。天のお父様、どうか教えてください。これから日本で奉仕をするなら、ぜひ導いてください。それぞれのいるべきところを重く心に示してください。私たちにあなたの心に心配をください。それぞれの人たちにふさわしい、それぞれの方針を導いてください。感謝します。そして、そうすると神様の御心を抱いて、本当の心配を持つことができます。本当に神様に感謝します。どうか役に立たないことをもうしないようにさせてください。本当に神様に導いていることだけを励むことができるように頼ります。イエスの御名によって祈ります。アメン。
アメン。
はい。OK。じゃあ。